to start? Oh, I'll just riff it out.
Oh, good.
All right, here we are again. This is Tim.
I'm Nick.
We are the Idiots. We're doing Walking Dead again. This episode just aired. It was called Say Yes. And I assume Rick didn't hear a whole lot of no's this episode.
It didn't look like he got a lot of no's.
No. there was a whole lot of rolling around.
Yeah, we finally started with a bang.
But we're going to start this episode with a little bit of recap of the last episode. We took off the last podcast.
Yeah, we'll call it a sick day.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling too well that day. And then the week came and apologize for the feedback. That's Nick's fault.
It is. I don't know why.
That's crazy. Mike doesn't like your glasses or something. That was weird.
It is weird. Keep in mind, we're idiots.
Anyway, back to the previous episode, which was called... I don't even remember.
I can't remember what that was called.
Hostiles and Calamities.
Hostiles and Calamities, which is a weird... I thought it was a weird title.
And let's just do... We'll be quick on the recap. What was your favorite part of the episode, Nick?
I think that's a good place to start. Favorite part of the episode... I kind of liked seeing Eugene become his own person in that moment when he lied to Jeffrey Dean Morgan or to Negan and did the whole same thing that he did with Abraham with the original I'm part of the CDC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and kind of saved his own bacon. So we get to see how he can recognize a situation and adapt to it and make himself come out. He's a survivor, but in a really cowardly way. So I like seeing that, and I like the way... Personally, I thought that it was interesting to see how Negan responded to it versus Abraham, because Abraham looked at it as a mission, and it saved him. Negan's looking at Eugene as a tool. So it's a little bit different way to take it, and I don't know, it kind of made Negan look dumb, too.
Negan does look dumb. Incredibly trusting whenever you tell him what he wants to hear, which I don't think that's a great trait to have as a human being. Basically, you tell me what I want to hear, and I'm going to believe whatever you say.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he really likes having people in his back pocket, and I think that's why Dwight's such a treasure to him, too.
Well, and also because he feels like he broke Dwight.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, well, I have this guy who ran off with two incredibly hot women, as Negan likes to say over and over, and then he ended up coming back. And then I get to marry his wife and have sex with his wife all the time. And then he serves me like my dog. I think he gets off on power trips.
I also thought that Eugene kind of read Negan in a way with the molten metal thing, which bothered me because it doesn't make sense. Because we had back in, they came into that big roadblock in season two, and there's walkers, or there was dead people inside the car that hadn't turned. Tim. That's Tim's fault. But there were dead people inside the car that hadn't turned, and the reasoning is, oh, the heat cooked them, so they didn't turn. It cooked their brains. You put molten lava or molten metal on somebody, it's going to act a lot like molten lava.
You have these walkers who, as we saw in tonight's episode, Rick pulls that dude apart.
Well, we saw it in that episode, too. And the guy just, like, cut in half.
Yeah, you can, like, basically poke them in the temple and kill them, and yet you're going to melt down metal and then pour it on their heads... And they're going to stay functioning. Because I don't know they're not live.
Well, have you looked at any of the YouTube videos of people pouring molten metal on objects?
You look at YouTube videos?
Oh, I watched that, yeah. Yeah, there's this guy that does like a red hot nickel ball. So it's this nickel ball that he heats up until it's red, cherry red hot. Puts it on stuff, and it's pretty cool. But things explode. So you put that on human flesh.
I don't need you getting arrested. You know the NSA is listening.
It's on the YouTubes.
I know. They're like, this guy's listening to molten metal balls and...
I'm not the only one. Those have a lot of views.
You are two steps away from Timothy McVeigh.
You're the one that said that, not me. It's all for the sake of science, man.
Snowden, if you're listening, I am not a terrorist.
What are we talking about, Tim? Anyway, I just thought it was a dumb plot, and they're doing it at the end of the video.
I mean, it is dumb.
That was really
stupid.
Really stupid.
We can cut that out. Sorry, people. Yeah. The favorite part for me was you got to see that Dwight is a human being. So, Dwight's wife, who is now Negan's wife, runs off in the last episode. and she leaves him clues letting him know that he ran, that she ran.
Right.
So Dwight finds, basically goes back to their home, because in the past they had this agreement, you know, if we ever become separated, let's meet back here and I'll have pretzels and beer. And Dwight goes back there and reads this letter that makes you want to, like, off yourself. Because she basically says, I love the man you used to be. And I know that's why you hated having Daryl around so much, because he reminds you of how you used to be.
No, that's what she said. That's why she let him out, because he reminded her of a better version of Dwight.
But she also said that it was torture to Dwight because he used to be that way, is what
she
said.
Did it
say
that? Yeah. I didn't get that out of the note.
And so it was just, I loved how you used to be, and I know you loved it too. And so I'm doing this for you. The only reason she married Negan was for Dwight, so that Dwight could live. And now the only reason she ran away is because she loved Dwight so much. The only reason she let Daryl free is because she loved Dwight so much. So she's doing all these things because she loves him so much, and yet he's being this little tool bag for Negan just to live. Right. And he's doing it for her because he wants her to live too.
Right.
It was just a horrible...
Well, she says, I love the man you used to be. I'm sorry I made you the man you are.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That's not verbatim, but that's pretty close.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a, not to be sappy, but it just reminded me of kind of like a Romeo and Juliet situation where they love each other so much that they die in each other's arms because they don't really understand. I don't know if you remember the story.
Don't look at me like an idiot.
I mean, I barely remember it.
No, I do. They kill each other to try and be with each other.
You know what I really remember is the stupid movie one that they made with Leo.
Oh, I didn't watch that. I didn't waste my time
but
on
yeah,
that.
One kills themselves because they think the other one's already dead, when in fact they just took something to make them right. seem like they're dead. And that's just what it reminded me of. And I thought it was really good acting. Dwight is a good actor, in my opinion, but...
I think he did a good job with that. The reason I didn't say that was my favorite part, because I did like seeing Dwight be humanized. And you see a reason why he's doing some of this stuff, even though you know he obviously hates Negan. Hates him. But he's still serving him like his little lackey. So, you get to see that, but she... In the letter, this stuff comes out of nowhere, and she just keeps saying that... Oh, it must be nice to be able to forget. You're such a forgetful person. How is he a forgetful person? He brought pretzels and beer.
Well, because she said in the letter, she's like, I honestly don't think you're even going to read this. Because she didn't think that he'd show up. And so she more or less is having a conversation with him in the letter.
But did the show ever tell us that he was a forgetful person up to this point? Or did they just throw it at us that episode?
Well... I mean,
have a problem with that.
They can't reveal everything about a character.
They're just trying
to humanize Dwight, because eventually, spoiler alert, he's going to lead insurrection against Negan.
I know they're trying
to humanize him and make you think or make you realize, like, hey, Dwight's actually not a scumbag, and he will finally grow some
what
balls.
What was the handful of suckers? Kept taking them.
It's like, yeah.
And then they kept looking at him with a handful of suckers.
He'd look at the suckers, and it's, I don't know.
Yeah, man likes suckers.
That's not in the comics. I can't explain that one.
I have
no theories either.
I want to say it was something to do with his wife.
Well,
Sherry.
She's obsessed with suckers.
I don't know.
Could be. Yeah.
But he didn't leave him at the house.
She might really like suckers.
But he didn't leave him at the house.
Maybe he's trying to quit smoking, using suckers.
That was kind of a cool thing, too. But that's another thing, too. So he's supposed to be this really forgetful person, but he knows where his cigarettes are. He knows where this one last cigarette with her lipstick on, which is the only thing he has to hold on to.
Well, he hides it because he knows if somehow Negan finds it, he's going to know that he's going to assume, like, hey, that lipstick's probably your wife's.
Well, I know why he hides it.
I know, but when you hide something, you're going to... More often than not, you remember where it is because you took the time to hide it.
But unless him holding on to a cigarette butt with her lipsticks on, it makes him a sentimental person. Sentimental person aren't forgetful persons.
You can't. Katie's the most sentimental person you're ever going to meet, and she doesn't remember anything. Now, she's going to blame it on her brain tumor.
I was just going to mention
that,
yeah.
But man, she forgets everything, and she is way more sentimental than me.
I just think it's cheap writing.
Keeps letters, notes, everything I've ever given her, basically. She's super sentimental. And I am not near as much, and I'm not super forgetful either.
I just don't understand how he's so forgetful of everything, because he's been serving as this. He remembers to serve, he remembers to do all these things, but somehow he's a forgetful person according to the writers. I just think that's a cheap ploy.
Well, as you know, first of all, I stand by what I said. They can't reveal everything about everyone.
I agree with that.
And in relationships, your spouse or partner or whatever they are to you. They know you better than anyone else. And so she's going to know things about him that nobody else knows. That's why I don't have a problem with that. I mean, she could have said, man, your penis is so small. And I wouldn't have had a problem with that. I don't care if they never revealed that Dwight has an incredibly small penis, because she's going to be one of the few people who's privy to that information. Now, that is a dramatic example.
Very dramatic.
I apologize for saying penis multiple times, but
you're going to say it again, aren't you?
It is similar to the conversation we just had where she reveals a personality trait to him that possibly she only knows.
But that's not a personality trait. That doesn't make up the character. It just means he has a small penis. Right.
Hey, having so a small penis it definitely affects the character.
I'm sure, but it doesn't amount to much to the viewer.
I understand.
So I don't. Are they going to try and do more with this?
We can agree to disagree, but I don't care if you reveal things in a show about a person that we haven't known yet, because they are just now starting to develop the white, finally. Because in all the other episodes, all you know of him as is some hideous dude who we hate, who got a
iron to his face
teeth blowjob by Eugene. That's the only thing that I really that I really knew
balls.
About him.
And they kept making reference to that too, with the jar of pickles, him chomping on some pickle. There's in the season, I think it was the mid-season finale, you see Maggie just going to town on some cucumber. Like, they keep doing this. I was listening to some other podcast, and they noticed it too.
Oh, you're just reading into it. You think that's the producers like sticking it to the audience? Like, hey, let's...
It wouldn't be the first time they've done stuff like that. Just like with Rick's hand always being bandaged up.
Yeah, that is annoying, but I didn't notice the cucumber and pickle stuff. I just don't pay that much attention.
Yeah, I guess.
But, okay, moving on.
Anyway, we spent too much time on this.
Eugene is propositioned by Frankie and there's do we remember the name of the other one? Two of Negan's
Frankie,
wives.
Frankie's the redhead. She was the most memorable. She's
Frankie and Tanya.
Best.
Yeah, Frankie and Tanya approach Eugene. Basically, Negan wants to reward Eugene because Eugene's awesome melted metal.
That feeds into that dude's
zombie
psyche. Yeah.
So, hey, he says, I'm going to send my wives over. This goes without saying.
No sex.
No sex.
I don't know what kind of man you think you are, but no sex. It says something like that.
So Frankie, Tanya, and Amber come over to show Eugene a good time, and he pretty much plays video games, and they're like, hey, can you do anything cool? And he does a science experiment. Moving on, they eventually say, hey, Amber, who's the blonde, whose boyfriend or husband, whatever relationship they had, I don't remember, but he got his face melted off.
Yeah, she agreed to be a Negan wife so
right.
he could live.
And she's super depressed about that.
And the last time, we saw her, she was super depressed too about the whole situation.
Right, and she's drinking herself to death and all these things. And so Tanya and Frankie are like, hey, you need to make something that enables her to give up her life in a painless way. And he's, you know, goes through and tells, you know, I could make that. Well, how much does she weigh? And they're like, oh, maybe 120 pounds.
But we need two, because we don't know when we're going to administer
it. We need two just in case.
They said they don't know when we're going to be able to give it to her, which is a weird reason to throw out there.
Yeah, they didn't think that one through. I guess they could have slipped it to her, and then she could have not taken it for some reason or another, like not eaten the meal they put it in or not drank the drink.
Right. Well, the girl was in on it too. She wanted to take it. She wanted to be checked out.
But I thought they wanted to give it to her without her knowing, kind of like, we're going to put you down, and you know you're going to get put down, but you don't know when it's going to happen. Yeah. So when you go to sleep, you're just going to go to sleep, hating your life, and then you're never going to wake up.
Right.
Anyway, Eugene pieces it together that the pill is not for Amber, it's for Negan. He declines to do it. They're like, well, we're going to rat you out and say it was your idea the whole time anyway if you don't do it. He again says whatever he says.
He says, well, we missed the portion where this doctor, we see the doctor die.
Right, Dr. Right. Carson.
Because he tells Negan that he's a PhD in like microbiology.
Why is Dr. Carson killed? I think that's important to point
out.
Okay,
so when we first see Dr. Carson, he's talking about Sherry and how she ran off. And this is just after, was this before or after Dwight was beat up for?
He's patching up Dwight because Dwight got jumped.
Okay, Dwight got jumped by Negan. And then earlier in this episode too, we zoom in on the blood pool from Fat Joey.
You're digressing too much.
No, I'm just saying. So we zoom in on that, and then the next thing we see is Dwight with the note that says, go now, from Sherry. And then he gets jumped. Then he gets patched up by the doctor, and the doctor says all this crap about Sherry having a big heart and not just being a caring person, but it's a right. medical, it's a medical condition. She has an enlarged heart, and, it's like, and he talks in like five syllables. And a person like that says she isn't a person that can live in this world.
She's not meant for this world.
Like, that's all he does the whole time. I hated this dude, so I was glad to see him die. And then he goes off, sees Sherry, comes back, and takes a portion of that note and frames the doctor.
Yeah, sees the note from Sherry, doesn't see Sherry.
Right.
In case you didn't see the episode.
Sees the note, goes off to looking for Sherry at their rendezvous point, sees the note. He takes a portion that says, bye, honey, or see you later, honey, or goodbye, honey, something like that, and cuts that portion of the note out and leaves it in the doctor's drawer. Yeah,
frames the doctor.
Frames the doctor for letting Sherry go, or giving her a way out.
Doctor claims he didn't do it. Negan's like, look, if you just admit what you did, you'll be fine. He admits it because he doesn't want to get his face burnt off.
Right. He gets forced into submission.
And then Negan throws him into the furnace, like, head first, and he burns alive. And Dwight, the whole time, is just standing there like a zombie. And so that's why I like the episode so much, about because of Dwight, because you see, when he's reading the note, he actually seems like a person who cares. And then you see him when he's around Negan, and he once again is this mindless drone who basically just follows orders and does.
Well, don't you think he's setting up for bigger things, though?
I do, but I...
Because he has to cover his tracks to save Sherry.
He wants Sherry to be okay, and so that's the only reason he had Dr. Carson killed.
And he tells Negan that Sherry ran from him and died in a pack of walkers.
Right. And so Sherry is okay unless she gets found by Negan's men, and then Dwight's going to get killed. But he's hoping she's not dumb enough to get found. And either way, he just wants her to be free if that's what she wants. So again, you see that Dwight is a redeemable person who, right, for now, is living like a chump.
Right.
But that's why Dr. Carson dies. That's why Eugene, once again, is like, I'm a coward, because that's what the girls say to him. You're just a coward. And he says that is correct, or that's an accurate...
That is an accurate assumption.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Or that is an accurate assessment.
Yes. And so we once again see, or have proof, that Eugene is kind of a tool, or kind of a worm, or... what he was when he was with
he knows
Abraham.
How to survive. He does know how to survive, and I think
survives on the backs of others.
He does, and he will wiggle and squirm in the most cowardice way to do it. One example of that was when he was getting the meds that he could make into a poison. He became one of the henchmen, so he saw the situation, saw that all the henchmen act like total a-holes, and then just pretty much...
And then acted like an a-hole and took everything that lady
took
had.
Took everything, plus his little...
Took a bedpan.
He took a bedpan.
I guess he was going to use that to do some cooking in or something.
I guess.
I mean, he's got a toilet. That's a little weird.
He also took that stuffed critter. I don't know if it was a monkey or a bear. I'm going to call it Grimly Grump.
he took a lot of stuff. Well, let's fast forward. Let's get to the new episode. So, and true...
Let's talk about the loose ends, though, because...
What loose ends were there?
So, at the very end of the episode, we get to see...
What did we see? I don't remember.
He was coaching the people how to pour the molten metal over the zombies.
Okay. Yes, that's right.
And then Dwight comes up.
Dwight says, are you with us?
And he said, I'm with us just like you are.
And so then you think, are they speaking in code to each other? Or?
It makes you feel that way, right? And that was just after he had the conversation with Negan that says, I was Negan before I even met you. I just needed to confirm it.
Yeah, in true groveling fashion.
He cuts him off. He stops his conversation.
Gives Negan a slobbery blowjob. And it's like, man, this is just painful to listen to.
Right. And then so the other loose end is Dwight, is he on the fence? Is he going to do something against Negan? Is Sherry going to come back up?
Dwight will eventually.
I mean, I agree with you. I think that's the only way.
I just think he's trying to figure out what it is he's going
to
do.
Well, Negan keeps leaving these characters with no other option but to revolt because of the way he treats them. It's a weird play. It's a weird play to me. If you're in charge, give them a reason to stay under you. Don't give them a reason to rise up, as this theme is for the last half of the season.
Well, you can look back through the history of the world, and you always see dictators who live by the rule of an iron fist, and they're basically horrible, terrible people. And people still follow them.
That's true.
You know, they don't ever last forever, but they last a long time. And
that's true.
Negan's probably only been in power for like a year, 18 months. So,
it can only be about 18 months.
His clock is ticking.
Yeah, that is true. And I think we're maybe going to see the start of it by the end of the season. But anyway, so there's that one. Sherry, what's going to go on with Sherry? Is she going to show back up? They left that loose, so you know that that's going to cause some drama. because he tried to kill her so that she wouldn't be chased after.
Yeah, and in the comics, I don't know what is up with Sherry. I just know that that is still a very sore sticking point between Dwight and Negan, because they have conversations in the comic after Negan is overthrown, and their conversations are never good. And Negan is always basically bringing up, "Oh, you're still sore about her," like throwing it in his face in kind of a laughing way.
Right.
So in the comic, Negan is written as just this basically callous prick who doesn't really care that much about any of the new wives that he has. And I think it's because he doesn't. But I want to get to the new episode because okay, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was a decent episode, but I thought it was funny.
So your initial impressions of it were that it was a funny episode that was decent.
Right, a funny, decent episode. On the blog, I titled the blog Say Yes in quotes because that's the name of this episode was Say Yes.
It was Say Yes, yeah.
And I think the producers did that because it has several meanings. Say Yes meaning Rick and Michonne are going to have sex a lot.
A lot.
So I think that is one of the meanings of Say Yes. And the other is Rosita propositioning Sasha. And the other way is their group trying to get that other group to fight. And the other way is Tara
trying to reveal information, right?
Yeah.
She needs to say yes to revealing information.
Right. Going to divulge some info. So I think that's all the meanings of the Say Yes. But then in the blog post, I also put Say Yes, ... The Walking Dead does Zombieland. Because it had some very comical parts to me. And that carnival scene with Rick and Michonne, all I could think of during that whole scene was Woody Harrelson.
Tallahassee.
Basically going Rambo on some
going zombies. Berserker. Wasn't he sitting on not a Ferris wheel, but it went
one of those things that spins, and he was hanging off of it.
Yeah, and just shooting him.
He's using a friggin' Uzi and just mowing him down, and it's like, man, The Walking Dead could do some stuff like this, and it'd be hilarious and cool. But instead they do this car zipline.
It's too late, though.
Crap.
It's too late.
They've thrown out the car zipline. Why can't they throw out some?
But that's my problem. Well, now that they've gone there, yeah. But that's the problem I'm having right now watching the show. And my initial impressions are it's way too far into the seventh season. The seventh season. We're halfway through the seventh season. That's 7 years. And now we're having a tone shift. We're trying to decide what the show's going to be.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
We went from gritty,
dark,
kind of. It's always been a slowly moving show,
right?
But it was gritty and dark, and every episode had some action in it that was at least tense.
Yeah,
whether it involved people or zombies, it was tense,
right?
And now it's gone to
laughable.
I mean, I referenced several times in the blog the mole people. I shouldn't be referencing the mole people.
No, not at all.
I mean, are we watching The Incredibles when at the end and the mole guy comes out and we live beneath you? I feel like that's what these people are. I mean,
what they feel like.
They talk in fragmented sentences.
And they use big
hideous.
Words. They use big words.
And you got that
sentences.
One walking around like she's a ninja.
It's with her face all covered in a gray hoodie.
It's like, are you horribly disfigured or do you think that makes you look cooler?
She can't look worse than any of the other people.
Definitely strange choices, but I wanted to see. I mean, if you're going to do Zombieland, do it right.
Right. Make it just crazy. Garish and ridiculous. Anyway.
Worst part of the episode. What was the worst part?
Worst part of the episode. I hate the dumpster people. That was hard for me to watch.
That whole scene, or was there one particular thing about the dumpster people that you hated?
Well,
let's decide. Are they dumpster people, mole people, or dumpster divers? Let's name them. What are we going to call them?
I like dumpster divers.
Let's call them dumpster divers. I use that term affectionately. My uncle is, as I've mentioned him before, he's retired, and he is now a semi-professional dumpster diver and makes like over 30 grand a year, non-taxable. Sorry, Uncle Sam, if you're listening.
A lot of people are comparing them to a really campy. A lot of people are comparing them to a really campy Star Trek episode too. One of the early ones with William Shatner.
I think
we were probably the
first people to put that on the internet. Was because we were talking about how they looked like freaking Klingons.
Looked like Klingons, yeah. I mean, yeah. I would like to think that we were, but I don't know.
Yeah, we put our podcasts up pretty early. We do that on
purpose.
Even
though it may have been pretty bad.
Yeah. Sorry about the quality.
Yeah.
We have a new mic coming. Nick will be on a new mic.
Right. It'll
be
a little bit easier because we're using...
We're using a Shure SM58. It's a vocal mic.
Right. And you got to be right up on it. Yeah, so if I move around at all...
They want you to mouth that thing, but it's all right. Nick's got a... He's afraid it's got germs on it or something, which my daughters do from time to time, slobber all over that thing. Yeah. I'm sure it's not good for it, but...
I don't have a canker sore yet.
Well, they're only two. 2 and 5. You're not going to get
it. Maybe I'm looking out for your kids, man. I just don't want them to get one either.
That's true. You could be a good guy. But, so, the dumpster divers, that was your worst part. So, whole scene or anything in particular?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't really love this episode. One, because the tone shift is weird to me, and it started with the mid-season premiere that we're trying to build a sense of hope, and everything's campy, and I don't know why they're so upbeat when they're on this mission that has a definite deadline. I don't get it. So that was hard for me to watch, too.
I mean, we're only seeing them in fragments, but you know a little bit why they're upbeat. I mean, they're young lovers who are kind of on a honeymoon. That's pretty much what it was.
Are they on a honeymoon? Are they married now?
No, but they're out together, alone, finally. And every chance they get, they're freaking doing
the
dirty.
Even
making two dragons or whatever you want
to
call it.
Even the fight scenes that should be tense don't feel dire at all to me.
Well,
the only one that did
that's because none of them were dire. The only time the situation got dire was when that, whatever that rifle was that walker was carrying... somehow got lodged.
Oh, that
the
was
pole
that was my,
shooting.
I changed my opinion. That was my least favorite. That was stupid. That was just stupid.
Nick's a gun guy. I like guns just as much as that guy, but not as much as Nick.
No, but and the improbability was, of that even happening.
I have been hearing about gun play on The Walking Dead for like 5 years now.
Yeah,
it's been like
that
5 years that he's been complaining about the gun.
Not
play.
5 years. Surely so, not 5 years. So we started watching it together 2 years ago.
No, before that.
Three.
I was still living in Bristol Park when we started watching that show.
So about 3 years then.
Okay, at least 3 years I've been hearing about the bad gunplay. But you would think the producers would spend a little bit of time and money to basically be more accurate when it comes to the depiction of guns.
Well, and they pride themselves on presenting this accurate post-apocalyptic world, and that's been severely degraded lately, but Kirkman, in his novels, always talks about how it's not about the zombies and stuff, it's about the people, and he wants to create this environment where people can be what they would be in a survival situation.
Right. Zombies are the catalyst.
Zombies are the catalyst, but we see these weird relationships that are handled strange, and then we see all this other stuff that just takes away from the
Well, isn't your theory that Kirkman's never had a real human relationship?
That's what it feels so like, watching
no
the show.
How to write one?
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. I feel like he spends too much time watching his zombie movies and not getting out with real people. Well, I was trying to be a little bit more PC, but yeah, I don't think that he understands the way relationships work, and we saw that with Aaron, and I can never remember.
I'll look it up. He's talking about the...
He comes home from that big long mission. The token gay couple. They come home from the big long mission. It's the first time they've seen each other for a while. And all they do is gripe out at each other for him going back out to do the right thing again. They don't hug. They don't make any kind of gesture of greeting. They're just griping at each other. And that happens with all the relationships, too. Like Michonne grabbing Rick's hand after the dumpster divers. They get out of that. And it's just weird. It's awkward. The way they get together is strange. There's no build up to it. It's just strange. It's just strange to me. But yeah, I don't think that he does enough research outside of that to really portray an accurate...
His name is Eric.
Eric, yes. Aaron and Eric.
Is a survivor of the outbreak in AMC's The Walking Dead. He's a recruiter for the community of Alexandria, along with his boyfriend, Aaron. But, going back to least favorite parts of that episode, I would say mine is probably... Nick is not in the show.
I'm not in there.
There's probably a Nick in the show. Anyway, Rick climbs up on that ride that looks like a bucket. And what he's doing is he's scoping out a deer. Now, instead of Rick being a normal guy and just killing the remaining walkers that he has right in front of him, it's like, man, I gotta scope out this deer while I got the chance.
Yeah, that was dumb.
It's like, dude, just kill the walkers and then take care of business. Hey, if the deer's still there, you know? But... you're in a life or death situation, pretty much.
Deer comes last. If you shoot the deer, the walkers get it, so it's a wasted cause anyway.
So he goes up there to scope out the deer, and then we hear a loud noise that, to me, sounded like a gunshot, and the way Rick went down, I was like, oh man, did he get shot?
Yeah, it's what it looked like to me, too.
But apparently, he just fell, which, that's fine. He fell and lost his bearings, but It's like he fell and became incompetent because he never got back up. He just started shooting walkers from the ground. It's like, dude, get back up and find a weapon and take care of business. I mean, haven't you been living in this world for 2 years? Aren't you the guy who bit a guy's throat out?
Yeah.
Like, this is...
That was a great scene, too. That was back when The Walking Dead was good.
Yeah, it was frustrating to me. And then Rick shoots with his last bullet, shoots the deer, puts the deer down, so that way he can hide while the walkers have a deer feast. But Michonne comes over there, and she sees the deer being feasted upon, but can't see the deer. She only sees the walkers going to town. And she thinks, oh no, it's Rick. She drops her sword and she looks all like, I'm just ready to die now. And then Rick calls for her and throws her sword and she catches it in the air. And I mean, what are we watching?
I don't know what we're watching anymore.
It's like a mix between Karate Kid and Transformers. And I say Transformers because that's what it reminded me of, the old Transformers movie in the 80s. I thought they were going to throw out some power ballad and Michonne was going to...
I can never do that again.
I couldn't take it. Well, I could get the guitar out and do it for real, but...
I mean, you could. That'd be much better.
No, it's not as funny. But it was a pain... That was the only painful part for me. The rest of the episode... I shouldn't say that. Let's move on to the next segment, because then I can get into it. If you were a writer, the one character you would kill off next episode, who is it?
Well, if I was a writer, I wouldn't make her this way, but right now, Rosita's got to die. That woman needs to die.
So
it was Sasha, now it's Rosita.
So it was Sasha for you. Because for me, it's always been Carol. I have wanted Carol to
Carol needs to die right now, killed too. But forever. We're talking about this episode, though, and we didn't see any of that.
That's right.
That's frustrating, too. Why can't we see some of the other communities? Like, that was a big problem.
That's been their formula the whole time.
I know, but they can obviously handle more than one location, because they did it tonight. They can obviously handle more than one person's story, because they did it tonight.
I don't think it's that. I think they think that they themselves are these awesome storytellers who basically say, we're going to focus on this story, then we're going to focus on this story, because they want to do the story justice. I think they have this inflated sense of what they're putting out there.
What their story, yeah. Well, I mean, I agree with you, and I think that's probably true, but I don't think that focusing on one camp of people and just dragging it out for an hour is the best way to tell a story, and that's what we saw tonight.
See, if we hadn't seen Rosita approach Sasha at the kingdom and basically say, hey, let's go kill Negan together because I'm a twit, then I probably still would have said Carol, because that's how much I hate Carol, even though she... That's how much I don't like you, even though you're not even in the episode, and I still want you to die.
Yeah. Yeah,
she is a horribly frustrating character. And for me, it goes Rosita, then Carol, and then, I hate to say this, but Lenny James, Morgan, his character.
I've hated his
character for, 8 episodes now, 9 episodes, 10 episodes, because it's just frustrating. There's things you have to do to survive, and he won't do them.
Well, if we want to go back to Zombieland, because that's what this episode really reminded me of, we can go back to Tallahassee saying, it's time to nut up or shut up. And that's what Morgan needs to do.
Morgan is capable, but he acts like Eugene.
Right.
Where I'm gonna survive on the backs of others, and that's frustrating. That's exactly what Carol is doing right now, living in her little cottage outside the kingdom. Rosita and Sasha's conversation took place at the hilltop.
At the hilltop.
Carol lives outside of the kingdom in this little cottage that, for some reason, King Ezekiel has set up for her and protects for her. For some reason, he's got his eye on her and maybe likes her. I don't know. But
it seems that way,
right? That's super frustrating, because Carol is just a terrible character who has nothing redeemable about her right now.
I agree with that, too. I don't think she has any use on the show other than to be a leech. And that's all she's doing on the show right now. And the only serviceable part that she had was when we saw her and Daryl get back together. And it was just a way for Daryl or Norman Reedus to show his acting chops and sell a good scene.
To give some sort of redeeming part of an episode.
Right. And that's all that... I mean, that was the best part of that episode.
Best part of this episode?
For me, it was the moment between Rick and Michonne on towards the end where he says something really dumb to... I would never say this to somebody I was...
Well, it wasn't really dumb. It was just... To me, it seemed very insensitive.
It was the way that he said it.
I could lose you.
Well, but we had a real moment between them, and we get to see why...
I'm going to say that to my wife, see how that goes.
I can lose you. I can lose you. Not I could. I can. I can lose you.
Did he say can or could?
I think he said can.
I can lose you.
You can't lose me. and his little southern, his cop southern thing.
Yeah, and then you see him talking on Talking Dead, and it's like, man, that guy's British accent is weird.
Well, he does a good job. He does a good job.
I wanted it to. I can't even do it. I can't do a British accent. How did he say tender? He said tender, really.
Tender. Because the ERs are A's over there. That's why you
oh,
get.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why you get that joke. I'm going to take my wife on vacation. Jamaica? It's supposed to be like, did you make her? But it's, they're asking Jamaica. Yeah, they say, yeah, the same thing.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking of the Led Zeppelin song.
I know. And that's where the name of that song comes from. It's from that old British joke. But anyway.
It's spelled like Dire Maker and you say Jamaica.
Jamaica, yeah.
That's cool. Anyway, that's our heritage.
Oh, yeah.
But
we're music people.
Well, let's get back to...
anyway,
well,
so that
we're also UK people, but... We'll get back to, you know, your family hails from over there. My family hails from over there. Well,
that is true. That's true. I didn't know where you were going with that.
They're in Germany. Yeah, I was talking about our heritage, not
our heritage,
just music, but
right.
I mean, I don't really play that much Led Zeppelin. I guess I could, but
you probably should.
Anyway, let's get back to it. So, yeah,
that was a real moment.
That I agree with Nick. That was my favorite part of this show, where they actually had some good acting.
And you see why she broke down whenever she thought Rick was Ed up on.
Right.
Whenever he got Ed, but.
And then I really liked how Rick, without saying it, he's basically referencing what Mel Gibson references in Braveheart and what so many other people reference in all great film and literature.
We have to fight for our freedom.
Which is, I mean, if you're going to live on your knees, that's not living.
Right. Yeah, he does say that. And he says, there's going to be people that die. He said, I can lose you, which was kind of rough in the poor choice of words. And a poor choice of statement.
Yeah, it was just...
He was telling her that she has to go on and lead these people. He wasn't saying it was an easy thing to lose her, but he was saying that is an eventuality.
Just expressing the gravity of the situation.
Right, and he was. And I thought it was a real situation. And that was one of the more believable moments of them as a couple that we've had yet. So maybe Kirkman did some research.
Well, because if you compare it to how people live under Negan... Like, take Sherry and Dwight, for example. They do what they did because they didn't want to lose either one of them.
Right.
But by doing that, they lost themselves and they lost each other. And so, I mean, whether you lose something that day or a year from now, you're going to lose it if you're living on your knees because it's not really yours.
Right.
And so why not, you know, take the risk and take up a gun and see what happens? And so that was the best part for me. Character who you think... Let's do character who you think grew on you the most. Basically, if we had a point system, and just like Negan has a point system, and you're throwing points in the till to basically ward off us wanting you dead, who threw the most points in the till for you in this episode?
That's really hard because we're only seeing the heavy hitters.
I know.
And we've already...
That's not our fault. That's the show's fault.
Well, it is the show's fault, but I don't know if there's anybody that can accrue more points right now because I either already liked them to... Like,
you can always accrue more points.
I don't think Rick can get more points.
As we saw with Shane, I wanted Shane dead, and Shane got dead. But my mom loved Shane. And so everyone has a different point system for their characters. I mean, you can go talk to my mom right now. She wants Shane back. Oh, they should bring him back. I mean,
how are they going to bring him back?
I don't know. They got zombies.
No, Shane was a cancer, though.
My mother loved Shane. So that just goes to show you, everybody's going to have a different point system.
Well, I agree. But what I'm saying is we've got... So the only people that we saw were Tara, Rosita, Sasha.
Well, Tara finally, as you could see, is going to tell Rick where to find those guns.
But that doesn't gain points.
She's finally stepping up to the plate and doing something.
Well, she's offering to the group.
Yeah, she's going back on her word to that little girl.
And that's the trouble that I have, is that she's rolling back on her word.
If you could save a community by sacrificing one relationship, isn't it better to save the community? The greater good should always come first, in my
opinion. I think that's probably the question that, if the writers are writing to be good, want you to ask.
It's always about the greater good. And that's how it should be, at least.
I agree.
Now, that sucks, and you never really want it to be about the greater good when it's you, personally. Like, the person who scored the most points for me in that episode was definitely Rick, because he showed he's still willing to do what it takes to get the job done. He can still act, which is nice, and he doesn't He doesn't necessarily back down.
Oh, no. Crazy, I know, but that's a given,
crazy
though.
Klingon lady. I know, but that's just one more reason to like Rick. And if Rick ever gets offed on that show, which could happen, because why wouldn't it?
Well, somebody, he's got to die sometime.
That'd be one person where it's like, man, that sucks. I mean,
establishment would be done without Rick,
when
though.
Shane got killed, I couldn't care less. But now seeing him act as Punisher, it's like, man, they should bring Shane back. He's a good actor.
Well, he was a huge asset, but he was a huge asshole.
Yeah. he was tough to watch.
No, you couldn't trust him anymore.
Certainly,
if he goes up against his best
around.
Friend, you just can't do that. So, yeah, I would throw points in Rick's corner, too, because I have a problem with Tara, because she's rolled back on her word, and I don't like that. She gave her word. I know certain situations call for that, but if this community's been...
And let's do who else... Was it only Rick who got points, or would you give points to others who are in the episode as well?
That's a hard question to ask. I think
Michonne gets a couple points, maybe not as much as Rick, but she gets some points.
Are we talking acting, too? Because if we're talking Rick and Michonne.
We're talking acting and contributing to the group. Basically...
Oh, Rick... But Michonne's right there with her.
Rick and Michonne. I just think Rick gets more points because, you know, he had to talk her off the ledge and basically say, right. You know, we're going to do this. We're going to fight. We're going to do what we got
to
do.
Well, he had to be the leader that he is. So I agree with you there. I think he does get the most points. I think Michonne pulls some... Tara, I'm conflicted about giving her points.
I give her at least 1 point. She gets at least 1 point. I think the preacher gets a point.
Oh, the preacher was great.
For freaking not only good acting, but for standing up to stupid Rosita, who's a freaking slut bag.
Well, she goes in there and reams him for Eugene being gone when it's her freaking
fault. If you hadn't talked me out of it, none of this would be happening.
Right, he would be
Eugene
dead,
would still
and Eugene
be,
would
here.
Be here.
Spencer
no.
would still be here. It's like, wait a second. He talked you out of being a dummy.
And you went and then you went and were a dummy.
Spencer was a dummy and got himself killed. And then you were a dummy and got Eugene taken.
And
almost
didn't
got
even
land
your mark.
Yeah, you shot a baseball bat. And it's not like Negan's a freaking ninja and was like, whoa, I caught it with my bat.
Right.
I mean, he's just holding his bat up and she shot it.
Right.
It's like, dude's freaking 8 feet from you and you're supposed to be some ex-army chick, which I don't think she was ever in the army. Anyway. And she takes that shot and can't freaking hit it.
Right. Everything that happened was her fault.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Other than Spencer being the weasel.
The preacher stands up to her and basically says, you know, I told you that the group needs you and the group still needs you because the group needs you to contribute. And then she still takes her stupid ace over to the freaking hilltop and is like, hey, Sasha, let's get it done.
Right.
And like, well,
she's
just
so dumb.
It's a one-way ticket for both of us.
It was not dramatic or tense. It was just dumb.
It was stupid.
You're just watching
freaking
it.
Freaking stupid.
This is stupid. It's another question they're leaving hanging out there. And I don't know if there's any other questions that they're leaving hanging out there in this, other than get more guns operational.
You know
all
what?
Of them?
You know, she would have a better, if she wasn't such an idiot, she'd have a better chance of taking out Negan if she said she wanted to be a part of his
right.
community, because she's like, I think our community is dying. And then he took pity on her, and then she's attractive enough to where he'd want to take her in as a wife. She goes in and be a wife, and then she freaking slits his throat when she's doing the dirty. I mean, she'd have a much better shot at success than her and Sasha going over there on some suicide mission, basically.
And that's a great question, too. Why doesn't one of the wives just slit his throat while they're doing the dirty? Why does it have to be a poison pill?
Maybe is very mindful of things he allows in the bedroom. I don't know.
You know he's got that bat close.
You ever try Taboo yet? You start watching that yet?
No, I'm not going to watch that.
Man, that is a gritty show. But yeah, this lady offs her husband in the marital bed. It was brutal, man. It's like, oh, geez.
It doesn't sound like something I want to watch.
I don't think I should be watching this show. It basically, I mean, I haven't watched the last two episodes that came out. Anyway.
So
preacher got some points.
We're 4 episodes in. Is that right? 4 or 5?
Let's look it up.
I think we're 4.
I don't remember, man. Let's go to all episodes here.
4 episodes in. Tonight we got to see one of the main players. But wouldn't you agree that Negan, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, is one of their bigger heavy hitters? One of their better tools?
I'm sorry. Repeat the question.
Negan, would you agree that he's one of the better tools?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is a good actor.
He's one of their greatest assets, right? So we're 4 episodes in. How many episodes have we seen with him in them?
We did not see him in Rockin' the Road, did we?
We got 1 out of 4.
We did not see him in
Rock and Roll. We heard him on the walkie-talkie.
We did not see him in New Best Friends. We saw him in Hostiles and Calamities, and we did not see him in Say Yes.
Right. So we've seen him once in four episodes.
Don't understand it. Don't know what they're doing.
Why don't you put your best players on the field? That's my question to the show.
It's because they do the same thing they always do, which is we're going to focus here, we're going to focus there. They jump back and forth.
Because the first half of the season, we saw Negan a lot, though.
Because Rick is also, to me, Rick is their best asset, and he's not in every episode either.
That's true. I think Rick and Daryl. The Rick and Daryl chemistry.
We can always rewind to the Bodders. The Governor.
The Bodders.
The Governor was an excellent part of the show, who I really enjoyed watching and enjoyed hating. And I hated the Bodders. They keep the Bodders away.
Right.
It's like, why do you say Bodders like that?
He was in the majority of the show, though, of that season.
Because they did that at the expense or at the cost of cutting other people out.
That's true.
It's just what the show does. They don't jump back and forth. It's just not what they do. And then when they do, a lot of times that feels choppy. And so maybe they're just not very good at it. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, whenever they jump back and forth between communities, it always feels a little bit chopped up.
Always. And it feels too focused on one thing. So there's a question. So what would you do different with this episode? How would you approach this episode differently? What do you think would be stronger? What do you think would be stronger with this episode?
Well, it's too late for the tone shift now. It's gone kind of a little bit more lighthearted. And so I think they either need to go back to gritty or they need to do more lighthearted things. They need to buy into it more.
They need to make a decision. Yes.
I would have gone
back and forth.
I would have gone more Zombieland with the Zombieland part. Like, maybe had some of those rides working and they ride a ride and have fun and use the ride to off some zombies. I mean, because they did the ridiculous car cable mowing over walkers thing. That to me was utterly ridiculous. And so if they're already okay with, I mean, they had to sign off on the ridiculousness, right? Somebody had to say, yeah, that's great. So obviously they're okay with it. So just go all the way, like buy in a little bit more. And do something else. I don't like. It feels like they don't know what they're doing. Like, which show they want to be. Do they want to be dark and gritty, or do they want to be a little bit more lighthearted? Are they trying to win viewers back, and that's why they're doing that? Because they lost a lot of viewers after Negan bashed in some heads. Because I know they did. I mean, the viewership numbers are down. You can easily look that up.
They're way down.
And so I don't understand what they're doing. But that's the only thing that I would change about the episode. It's basically identify a tone and stick with it.
Yeah, and that absurd walker with the gun that fired by itself, like just the way that would have to happen, and then he would have to survive for however long with a full magazine of ammo that didn't go off until that point.
Just walking around with it on his hip, locked and ready.
I know, but
waiting for the just perfectly positioned piece of rebar to set that thing off.
He was already stuck on the car, though, so if he moved at all, from what they showed us, it was firing.
No, he wasn't stuck on the car when they first showed him. He was walking.
How did he get stuck?
When they first showed him in that episode, he was just walking across along the fence line. And when they showed him, I was like, oh, wait, is that a guy that's living? And I thought that's what they were trying to do. When his gun started firing, I thought that he was one of those guys who actually was living and just had stumbled upon Rick and Michonne and was going to try and take him out, basically. But no, in fact, he was a zombie who somehow got stuck on some rebar, and the rebar magically inserted itself into the trigger guard.
8 foot long rebar, too.
And
so he had to walk into it sideways.
It would have had to have swung out and then swung back in. I mean, I bet we could experiment with a gun.
Oh,
with your AR-15 and some rebar, and 99 times out of 100, it's not going to happen.
No,
it's not.
Dumb.
It's not going
to. It was really dumb. Anyway, so yeah, I agree with you though. If you're going to go that stupid, let's go all in. Let's go all in and have a fun show to watch. I was listening to another podcast that I like them a lot. They drop the F bomb a lot, but I like them. And
do we need to F bomb it up?
No, I don't think so. but anyway, they were saying that what they said, and they made a point, was The Walking Dead. They said, I don't want to get caught in the same old trap that next season The Walking Dead is going to be great. So they kept saying that. They said, I don't need The Walking Dead to be great. I need it to be entertaining. And so, yeah, they need to make a decision so that it can be entertaining.
It doesn't need to change your life. It just needs to be something fun to watch. Right. Now, whether it's fun because it's gritty or fun because it's like Zombieland. Zombieland is in no way a great film. It's not going to win any awards. But Zombieland, I've watched it like at least 10 times on FX.
I'd go watch it right now.
Every time I'm flipping channels and it's on FX, I'm watching it.
Yeah, you stop the channel.
Woody Harrelson, you're freaking awesome. I think he's hilarious.
I don't know how he's... Well, I do know because he's talented, but he has stayed relevant for a very long time.
Dude, freaking watching him on Cheers. You go back and watch Cheers episodes now and you're like, man, this show sucks. But man, he's made it
good.
He's made it from Cheers all the way to now, and he's still freaking hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a great actor. But yeah, so if they would invest more in that, I think if I was gonna do the episode differently, I'd spend less time with the campy BS and show some more story.
Who, like the mole people?
I don't want to. Well, that too. What's your
campy stuff?
We're gonna rush into this house and then we're going to laugh about it and then we're going to screw it. Then we're going to go stand on top of this building and we're going to fall through
the stuff that doesn't really progress
it doesn't do anything for the story. Right. And then that whole fighting the walkers thing, we got to go there, I guess, but do we have to take pop shots at carnival games with this rifle that has valuable ammo in it?
But they're just trying to show that they're still people and they're still...
Well, they're trying to add this levity to the show that never had levity, and I just don't agree with it, and it really grates against me because we're halfway through the seventh season.
You know what I'm really frustrated about is that Negan never said that. He never made fun of Nick. Rick Nick.
I'd be Rick. Fine. You can call him.
He's a good looking man.
He is a good looking man.
But he's never made fun of Rick and said, I can't believe you're still using live ammunition on zombies.
Yeah, and that happens in the comic, right?
Yeah, it happens in the comic, and that's a freaking good point. It's like they're slow. It's not like they can, you know, suddenly lurch at you and catch you off guard. Get a bat and do some damage.
That's the right weapon, too, because you don't have to puncture their head.
Rick using this hatchet that's got... What's the reach on that hatchet? Like, a hatchet?
3 feet? Maybe two... No, that's like a foot and a half.
What do you have, a knife on him?
A hatchet?
He had a hatchet. A hatchet?
That was probably one of the better parts of that.
That was awesome.
Whole,
that was
whole
so
premiere.
Funny. Hatchet?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan sells the role well. The writers just aren't using him to his best potential.
Yeah, use a freaking baseball bat and just
dump
him. Get the job done. Just
dunk. In the very first episode,
and
they say...
And get an aluminum bat. Is it that hard to find an aluminum bat? Wood breaks, okay?
Wood breaks, but it has more weight. So you're going to have more
energy.
Get
an aluminum bat with a freaking donut on it. You know,
throw
two donuts on there.
Fill it with lead. Just fill it with lead. Why not a sledgehammer? Just get it done.
It's just frustrating that he uses a freaking hatchet.
Yeah, it is. I mean, is that his weapon of choice in the comics? I don't remember him having one, did he?
Yeah, I think he had a hatchet in the comics. I mean, his weapon of choice is the revolver, which, again, to me is ridiculous. But
that's
cool.
His service pistol.
It's
what he knows.
But it's cool.
That's fine.
But yeah, he has a hatchet at times in the comic, you know, because he uses the hatchet on the cannibals in the comic. But I mean, it's still a good show. I still don't mind watching it, but it's almost gotten to a I watch you to hate you show.
It is that, and it's
and I'm sad
watching,
about that.
I've said this before, but they got me by the balls because they have so much.
Yeah,
I have so much
freaking
time
invested.
I have so much time invested.
We're doing
in
an effing podcast, for crying out loud.
Yeah, this is your thing, but we're doing.
Well, I got all this stuff. I got to use it.
Well, I know I don't mind doing it, Tim. Anyway, but they've got me by the balls because I'm so invested, and I just want to know what happens. And so every episode, I come back thinking, hey, maybe they'll shift the tone again because they've done it so many times, or maybe we'll get something actually exciting. And again, this episode has nothing really exciting. Even the fight scenes aren't exciting. They're laughable. There's no
dude,
sense.
Rosita going at that fat, nasty looking,
that was gross,
walker. I mean, he keeps throwing that stuff in, and I ask myself why. Like,
why?
There's got to be people out there sending him fan mail or giving him comments or something saying, oh, we just love seeing those zombies. Like, it's realistic.
They have that zombie kills a week on The Talking Dead, which I think helps.
There's no way to even know what is realistic in this world of zombies.
There's no rules.
We don't know. And so they make them look how they want to make them look, and that it always seems to be, let's make them as nasty looking as possible. And it's always, let's have someone pull in half, or let's have some zombie get cut somehow and it'll squirt nastiness all over somebody. Oh, didn't you think
that scene was absurd too, right? Where he's pulling the walker out of the car. Stupid.
It's like, just turn your hatchet to the dull side.
And just beat the crap out of that helmet.
And just bonk.
All right on the helmet.
There you go.
It's done. If he's squishy enough to be pulled apart, he can't be resisting much with your hatchet.
Yeah, just bonk. There you go. Now it's done. Now I will push you out of the car.
Right.
And I will get going.
And they established that rule in the first of the episode. Or I know they did it in the first of the comics. The very first episode of the comics. They say, oh, all it takes is a good whack to the back of the head to put him down. And then also in the first episode, I'm pretty sure that that's what they established when he met Morgan, too. The kid came up and bonked him in the head.
So oh, walkers yeah, don't yeah, talk. That's right.
But then they said, yeah, all it takes is a good hit in the back of the head. So why are we running around with impaling implements and not just beating the crap out of the back of the
head? You know what I hate about her sword, too? Is she's using a sword that only that's sharp on one side and dull on the other. It gets stuck a lot, you know? It hadn't happened in a while, but she'll, like, and then she'll get that thing stuck, and I just think she'd be better off using, like, more like a broadsword. I mean, granted, it'd be heavier, and she wouldn't probably be able to swing it as fast.
You know the other problem with that samurai sword? Is those don't really exist in the real world like people think they do. There's only certain makers that can make a samurai sword that is effective, otherwise they break.
Didn't they address that in the show, or address that in the comic? Like, she just came across it. Like,
I think they addressed it in the comic. I don't think they addressed it in
like
the show.
Someone just had it as it was a collectible that someone had, and she just came across it. Had never used a sword before and just got good with it out of necessity, basically.
Yeah, but most of the samurai swords that you see on the wall, they're just show pieces. They're not true samurai swords.
Well, maybe she's like Kill Bill, and she had a true blue, dyed-in-the-wool, I'm going to fly a plane into your house kind of samurai sword.
I mean, I wish she was more like Kill Bill. That's some good pulp gore the, B-rated movie.
I mean, that's what this show feels like. It's kind of like Pulp Fiction.
It's moving right into that now. It didn't used to feel that way. The first,
and dude, Kill Bill is a good show, though.
Right, it is a good show.
Great storytelling, some good action. Kill Bill Volume 2 I thought was awesome. I mean, Kill Bill Volume 1 was good too, but a lot lighter on the story. But Kill Bill Volume 2, like, the storytelling I thought was awesome.
Oh, I really enjoyed both of them. I watched them back to back.
I mean, we stray a ton. But anyway, so what were we talking about? What would we get rid of? Oh, what would we change about the episode?
What would make it better? I think if we focused more on different stories, and I feel the same way about last week's episode too. If that could have coincided with them in the mid-season, it could have been the mid-season premiere. We see, oh, this is the right timeline. Daryl just left. We see Joey's blood pool there, and they start doing that thing, and then the other group is doing stuff with trying to gather up people, so we get this kind of juxtaposition of Jeopardy Morgan and Negan trying to regather his troops. You get to see Dwight starting to shift that way while he's still trying to gather friends. And then the next episode, whenever they say, well, when Rick says, Preacher says, why were you smiling? Because sometimes friends can become enemies, and then that sends a better message with
or
Dwight.
Enemies can become
right,
friends.
Right, yeah. Enemies can become friends, and that sends a message. Better message with Dwight. Like, oh, we just saw him kind of shift. Is he going to become a friend? Instead of doing it after, where it makes no freaking sense, and we go back in time.
Right. So basically what you're saying is this was one of those shows where we could just DVR the whole season, then watch it, then just binge watch it all, and it'd have a little bit better of a flow to you.
Yeah, if we watched all these episodes together, it would make more sense.
Right.
And I would feel like I wasted less time waiting on the damn writers to get something together. Is this bugging the piss out of me?
So,
feel like I'm just like feeling around in the dark to see what's happening.
To wrap up, I want to talk about. So, how do you think Talking Dead is still on the air? Who's funding that thing? Are people watching it? Because I think it sucks.
I think it's pretty bad. I do too.
I mean, I don't really like Hardwick. He doesn't grate on me as much as he grates on you.
Oh, he grates on me so bad.
But I don't really like him. But the In Memoriam segment is just awful. Stupid.
Where they just show walkers dying.
It's almost as if they want that show to be a throwback to old zombie shows. Because Talking Dead feels like a joke. And the only time it's even halfway redeemable is when they have an actor on there and you get to see a little bit of what the actor is really like in real life. And then you're like, man, they are a pretty good actor. Because
right,
I would have never thought they could pull off this role. Based on if I knew them in person, how
Kari
they were acting.
Kari is a perfect example of that.
Who's dude that?
He plays Ezekiel. I don't know his last name, Kari, whatever. But yeah, you see him on that show, and like, man, that guy's twitchy. He's nervous. and I'm sure it's just being in the limelight and being kind of off script.
Andrew Lincoln is a great example.
Because he's just
a great example of not pulling it off is Maggie. I think Maggie is a terrible country girl. I hate her.
I wish she just wouldn't have done the accent. That would redeem her character all the way.
I want Rosita dead.
Rosita needs to die.
Then I want Carol. Then I kind of want Morgan, but I hate saying that because I like Lenny James. But then Maggie's right there too. If Maggie, I mean, she's pregnant with Glenn's unborn child. That'd be kind of sad.
Well, we have to have the prodigy, right?
She died, but
we have to have the legacy to carry on.
But yes, I do not like her. But yeah, Talking Dead. I think obviously people are watching it because, you know, if things aren't watched, they get taken off the air.
You would think so.
But
yeah.
Since it's so tied, because they had Talking Dead, they had. Or Talking Bad. Now they have Talking Dead. They had the Talking Bad. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It was before any of this with Walking Dead. They had Talking Bad.
Do you know there's theories out there that the Walking Dead are taking place in the same universe as Breaking Bad?
That's a strange theory.
It's just a strange theory.
It's just in the future, I take it.
I guess. I mean, it'd have to be, right? Because you're not going to be cutting meth if you got biters. Like, biters.
Breaking Bad was an awesome show. Nick has never watched Breaking Bad, and that show is freaking awesome. Best show I've ever watched.
I feel too far behind now.
Doesn't matter. It's all on Netflix. Just watch the crap out of it.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
And then you could watch Better Call Saul, which is a great show. Great writing. It
seems like a big investment.
It's in the same universe as, I mean, Saul is a character on Breaking Bad. And so it's all connected. Man, great actors in those shows. But getting back to Talking Dead. Terrible show, Chris Hardwick.
I can't hardly watch it.
Don't like you.
It used to reveal something.
Yeah, right. It used to at least enlighten you on. Oh, that's why they did that. That makes sense. But
you get to talk to the director today. There wasn't anybody of consequence.
Yeah, they had that producer on there who you call Horseface or Horse Teeth or whatever you're calling her.
You got to tell them that I call them that.
She's not even that unattractive, Nick. You take it back.
No. You said the same thing.
No, I just said the way she talked. She reminded me. You ever watch Rugrats when you were a kid? Rugrats on Nickelodeon.
Who are you going to talk about?
Angelica.
She did a little bit. It looked like her jaw was dangling down below her head. It wasn't hooked up right.
She had a weird way of talking. Yeah. That's for sure.
I just didn't find her attractive, and she bothered me.
Everyone affiliated with the show bothers you.
Right now, yeah. They're making some poor choices.
You know what really bothers Nick? This right here.
That does.
Those were fake eating noises. If you're ever eating around Nick and you're loud about it, he might shoot you.
I go ballistic. I do go ballistic. I would want it to be a little more personal, Tim. I would probably choke you out. I want to be right there.
Where's he going with this?
I want to see what I'm doing.
He wants to see the life leave your eyes.
Yeah. And that's the kind of place that stuff takes me to.
You're going
to
get put on some watch lists.
We're just riffing here.
Yeah, overall, I'd give this show, scale of 1 to 10, what do you give it this episode?
Well, I don't think it's a 5. I've been giving a lot of shows a 5. And did we rate last episode?
No, we didn't because we didn't do the podcast. Last episode, I would definitely give probably a 7 or an 8. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I'd be up there too. I thought it was back to good storytelling. There was some weird stuff that I didn't like that weird scene with him making drugs to a They Might Be Giants song, which is just out of place and strange. But anyway, yeah, so I'd probably give that one a 7 or 8. Tonight's show.
I'd say Tonight's show was a little bit lower than last episode. Right. But higher than some of the others.
I'd probably be like a 6.5, 7, somewhere in there.
On IMDb, the last episode, in case you out there are curious, it's getting a 7.7, which I pretty much agree with that.
Yeah, I think they're right on it with that one.
This episode, say yes, tonight's episode, it already has quite a few reviews on IMDb. So the fanboys are out in strength, full force, and it's getting a 9.9, but that's because they're fanboys.
Ooh. That's got to be all those gore whores.
They
want to
basically
nasty
have
stuff.
Michael Jackson sleepovers with Robert Kirkman. But, you know, it's whatever. They're giving it a 9.9. This episode, I'd probably give it in between a 6 and a 7. 6.5 to 7.5 is the scale I'd give it for tonight.
I might creep up to 7.5, but it's going to be, I think mine's going to be a little bit lower than that. There's only a couple redeemable scenes.
Yeah, it's just I don't really care anymore because I feel like they are going a little bit ridiculous and they're okay with it.
Well, I think they're trying to appeal more towards the people that are addicted to gore than the gore genre, the B-rated films.
I didn't think there was a ton of gore in this. I just think they're trying to make it a lighter show. Why they're trying to do that, I don't know. But I definitely feel like the show has been lighter this season.
It has. Well, this half season. It was not light. That's season premiere up to the season finale.
Mid-season finale on has definitely had a lighter tone.
It has. And it came out and it just shifted absolutely out of nowhere. So we got these like sense of hope and all this stuff. And it just doesn't make sense to me. And it bothers me a lot. So it's hard for me to rate these episodes high because they don't make sense in the continuity of the series. So, yeah, 7. I don't think I'd go above a 7, but 6.5.
6.5 to 7.5 is what I do. The last episode, 7.5 to probably a low 8 is what I would give the episode before last. I liked the episode simply because I thought that the storytelling with Dwight was awesome.
Storytelling with Dwight was good. The acting was good.
I liked this episode because the storytelling with Rick, once again, I thought was
seeing,
great.
I like seeing Negan on the scene just doing his weird stuff. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's a great actor.
Weird dude.
Does
tall and skinny.
He sells it. He hasn't quite sold to me the reason why he's in charge and why all these people hate him. And still,
yeah, everybody hates you, but you're still in charge.
They haven't sold in a world
where everyone gets killed. That seems pretty strange because right. It's like, well, I might as well just kill you if I hate you.
Right. You just take.
That's pretty quick.
And that's been the rules for a long time, as you say.
That's why they keep hammering home. Who are you?
I'm Negan.
That's why they.
But what makes them buy in?
That's
though?
What they keep hammering that home.
What makes them buy
the
in?
The same thing that made little kids buy in Nazi Germany, brainwashing.
Just but they didn't it, have them since they were little kids. They only had 2 years.
He's been because you break someone first, just like the military does it in boot camp. You break them down.
I just want to see how they broke.
You break them down. You build them up. We saw how they broke them. That's the only reason they showed all that crap with Daryl eating dog food sandwiches, because they showed you break. They showed them breaking Daryl, and they never even broke him. But that's how he breaks everyone. He throws you in the hole, and he treats you like a dog until you're finally like, I'm Negan.
I'm part of the system.
Then he starts giving you some good things, and next thing you know, you like him. Not everyone in that community likes him. It's only his followers who like him and work for points and don't have to work for points. The ones who work for points hate him. And his wives hate him.
Oh, yeah. His wives hate him. I think that the people that work for him hate him, too, but they're just kind of beat. But
they get beat down, and then they get rewarded for saying, I am Negan, and next thing you know, they're like...
I could live like this.
Oh, yeah. All right.
One interesting thing, too, though, because Negan did spot... They did make a little bit of a reference to how he's in charge with him and Eugene's interaction. Whenever he said, I got this problem. I got this... And verbatim, he says, I got this bag of... this pile of shit. Over there, referring to the zombie that just fell apart in the most convenient timing ever. So how do I make that? Yeah, it made that noise too.
Geez.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was disgusting. It was all brown. And
just so everyone knows, Nick likes to bring over food when we watch this show together. Yeah. And then he never eats it. I'm the only one eating it. So I'm sitting here eating food, watching this crap. Just like, oh, geez.
It's because I've already tanked myself before I got over here. There's no room in there.
It's like, oh, it's disgusting. And I don't know why I haven't learned yet. I still just keep stuff in my freaking face. Anyway,
so, but he redresses that problem, says, all right, here's my first problem. How do I make them more resilient? How do I make them more of a resource that I don't have to renew all the time? And he gives him that solution and another verbatim, oh, that's badass. So he appeals to his nature, and then Negan returns the favor and says, does Rick let you do any of this cool shit? So that was kind of cool. I mean, it gets you get to see how he can kind of read.
It's like
people.
He memorizes this show. That's funny.
I don't know. I remember
he talks about it, and I finally remember it because I was like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So I mean, that is a cool thing that happened.
That's how he earns the date with Negan's wives.
Yeah.
Is with the
solution to the
problem. The metal fence zombies.
Right. So yeah. So that there is a little bit of a vision of what Negan's doing to keep these people, because it looks like he can actually read people and what they need. And I think Eugene needs to have a purpose in order for him to survive and for him to buy into the program.
Right.
So now he's become a useful piece of this cog, or this whole network of cogs.
Pulling it right out of the comics, by the way. Not the metal zombies or anything, but just basically Eugene having to have a purpose because he knows he can't contribute the same way other people do. So he has to use his mind to contribute. That's why he makes ammo in the mm-hmm. comics, because that's really the only... And he's also working on a radio in the comics, because he just has no real other way to contribute.
But, so, do you think that Negan should have been scared? Or, I'm sorry, that Eugene should have been scared when he's taken there? Like, you're valuable because you can make...
Well, ammunition. He should have been scared because he's a tool bag and he's scared of everything.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Freaking, that guy...
But why isn't his first task?
You know what I don't understand is why they didn't make him wet himself. Because that's basically what it seemed like he was going to do.
I think they...
When they were walking him to his room and he thought something terrible was going to happen. He's like, please don't. Please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't. It's like, man, have a little bit of pride.
He gets put in a nice room. And that girl does say, don't wet yourself. Like, you're going to wet yourself or something. I mean, so I don't know if he did or not. But
I mean, I don't know how I would react in that situation. But I've always... at least thought I would die
with some dignity,
respectably.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, I would hope so. I would hope I wasn't some sniveling little turd. Mm-hmm. I'd probably just shut up and take it. I mean, that's what I'd hope I'd do. Is just whatever you're gonna do, let's just get it over. Yeah. So I mean, that's what I'd hope I'd do, but I don't know.
Yeah, he has no pride and just acts like a sniveling little weasel, and that's the only reason he's alive.
But why wouldn't you just make a? I mean. The obvious outcome, what can you do for me? I already know you can make ammunition. Let's do that. That's an easy solution. Go make me some ammo.
Right. Just start churning it out.
No, instead we gotta pour...
Get the supplies you need, and let's start our own little ammo factory, and then we can just rule the freaking world.
Right, because you can turn a .357 into a 9mm. You're pretty damn talented.
Yeah, as we have all learned throughout history, guns win.
Guns win.
People with guns always win.
Don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
That's why the government wants your guns, people, because they don't want you to win.
Now you're going to end up on a watch list.
I don't care. Uncle Sam sucks. Yeah, I said it.
But anyway, so yeah, I thought that was a redeeming quality. I haven't seen much out of that, much like that in this episode. We just get to see more of bitchy Rosita.
She sucks.
We get one good
Sasha
scene.
Sasha sucks.
Sasha really sucks. We get one good scene with Rick and Michonne. And that's really the only redeeming thing that I got from this episode. There was some fun.
Rick and Michonne were getting it. Which, once again, I brought up during the show, I'll bring up again. Are they using protection? Because I don't really want to be bringing babies into that world unless I'm, like, kind of settled. And they are not, they're anything but settled right now.
Well, before we saw the Saviors, maybe. When they first got to Alexandria, it's like, man, things look pretty good. Maybe that's a time to have a kid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But now, when you're about on the precipice of war, hell no.
Yeah, I'd definitely be using some prophylactics.
I'm doing something.
I mean, the pull and pray, I just don't think is... I don't think that's surefire enough.
I think he just wanted to say that term.
No way. That is probably what they're doing, and I don't think it's surefire enough.
I mean, I don't know. Where are they
going to... I mean, it's pretty...
I just don't believe the condoms are prevalent.
They're raiding all these houses. I guarantee you they're stumbling upon some condoms.
Maybe so.
I mean
that's better than
nothing. That's where it is.
Oh, well, we didn't even talk about them just running into a couple, what I can assume were Saviors. I don't know who they were.
Yeah, they stumbled across them playing golf.
We need batteries for our walkie-talkie. Yeah. Oh, there's batteries in the back of that truck.
Yeah, they're looking, they're spying on the Saviors, and they're in the back of the truck in one of these bins. It's labeled batteries and something else. It's like, oh, yeah.
The bin is labeled batteries.
That's convenient as hell.
That's another thing I freaking hate about the show when they do this stuff like that.
You think they killed them, right? Just silencer to the back of the head?
I would assume so. The only other option is that they snuck up there and stole the batteries.
Yeah, which would be stupid. You're better off just killing them and leaving them in the woods.
Right. The only bad part about that would be a trail back to you, but you stole the batteries too, so there's a trail back to you as well.
Yeah.
Somebody did.
Well,
but it would be longer.
You kill them and take all their stuff and leave them in the woods, no one's ever going to find them. And so people are just going to assume, they died.
If they did find him, it would have been later.
It's a dangerous world. I mean, you kill them and leave them in the woods, walkers are going to eat them anyway.
Right. Or you could
you just kill them in a way that they turn into walkers, and then they end up walking around, and it's
then
like,
you just covered your tracks.
It's like, well, who the F knows what happened to them? They're freaking walkers.
Right.
I mean, and so, but yeah, once again, they have a part where it could be somewhat exciting, and then they just gloss over it. But we are lucky enough to see a zombie get ripped in half, getting pulled off a car.
But that's not exciting, it's just gross.
We are lucky enough to see Rosita slashing at a zombie like she's never killed one before, and it's spraying her with crap.
Yeah, she panics.
She panics. Yeah,
and she spent all that time with Abraham.
You've been alive for 2 years in this world.
With Abraham.
You have a freaking machete, and you're slicing at the zombie's throat.
All you need is a big...
Just turn it to the dull side and dunk it.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, that's all it would take. Man, I was telling... So, John liked mental warfare when we were kids. My brother, John. To torment me. You know, one of the ways he would do it...
They call you Timicus?
That was Jay, and I freaking hated it. But we have a machete in our house that my brother, I believe, brought home from the Dominican Republic, which... How you got through security with a machete, I don't know. I mean, you'd probably get arrested and thrown in the gulag or I don't know, something.
I give him respect.
But so we had a machete and John would freaking wave that thing around, like swinging it around like he's freaking David Lee Roth on the Jimmy Kimmel stage. And then he'd just whap it down at me. And right as he was lifting it back over his head, I assume that's when he would do it, he'd flip it to the dull side and then just whap me with it on my leg. It hurt like a mother, but it was tormenting mentally because it's like, man, he's swinging a machete at me. He's going to whack my leg off. And then he'd flip it to the dull side right at the last moment and just hit me with it. Don't you think that's twisted, man?
It is twisted.
But Rosita can't just do that? Turn it to the dull side?
Turn it to the dull side. Or just back up, let the thing come to you, let it and get then make down a better play.
Let it get down on your level.
It's not like
they CGI in her? Because her arms look sickly. Do you think it's CGI or do you think she's that thin?
Dude, I was making this point before. They do a lot of work to make her look unattractive. Their viewership is down. Sell a little sex. Got the most attractive girl on there. Make her look good.
Somebody out there needs to do some sort of, you know, photos side-by-side stuff of Rosita. Because I swear, her arms...
Oh, they look tiny today.
She looked like a skeleton. It definitely, to me, it looked like Photoshopped. It looked CGI'd. Where they cut off some of the skin on her arms to make her look even more emaciated than she already does. And yet she somehow still is walking around with a couple of freaking cantaloupes attached to her. And so, I don't know what's going on there, but I thought it was weird.
It did look weird. I don't understand how they go through such efforts to make her look clean, but then put her in clothes that make her look like shit. So I just don't get it. Like, man, why make your... Let's say asset, your best asset, and I'm using air quotes here. Why make it look horrible? You need viewers to come in. I mean, you're going to have people to come in just look at a pretty girl.
Or at least they will stick around just to look at her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because like, if you're on the fence of quitting the show and you're one of those guys like us who likes women, and it's like, well, that's at least one reason to keep watching is at least it's got a pretty girl in it.
I mean, I don't think you have to get unrealistic and put her in a cocktail dress or anything some clothes that look good on her and put her out there.
And don't CGI her arms to look like she's a skeleton.
Did they CGI her? I don't know what they did, but they just look straight down.
They just look
straight down. There's no bumps on them at all. It was weird.
It was strange.
It was very strange looking.
But overall, like we agreed, decent episode. Last episode was decent. Could possibly be moving forward. We don't know.
Wouldn't watch it again.
But I will tell you all, it has nothing to do with the comic. They are not delving in any of the comic stuff right now, which is not out of the ordinary. The comic is basically just the framework, and the show kind of does what it wants.
I still think that they veer off like this just to prove that they're not following the comics, and I think it makes it weaker. I wish they would follow the time-tested format that it was very successful.
I think they like to weave around, but then get back on the important points, which is Rick's the man, Negan's going to lose, other communities are going to rise up and get together, and they're going to think the world is great again, and then next thing you know, something terrible is going to happen. That's how they've done it since day one.
I agree.
They finally get to a calm point, and then they suck. And then they get to a calm point.
Well, it's a survival story. There's always going to be something pops up. But I just wish they'd stop meandering around to get to the point.
The meandering does suck.
And just get there. Because I really did, and I guess I fell prey to the trap, but I really thought this was going to be a stronger season than last season. Because last season, they spent the whole time getting to...
I do believe it is stronger.
I do think it's stronger, but I thought it was going to be more entertaining, a more fun watch. But like last season, they took the whole season just to get to Negan.
Right.
So this season, by the mid-season premiere, or mid-season finale, we've got Rick tooling up for war. So that's a good storytelling trope. We got a reason for him to go to war. Next season, let's get into it. Or the next episode, we should be getting into it, and we should be doing that with the back half.
Yeah, but it has to be... They have to get to that point. They got to build up the arsenal. They got to build up the numbers. I somewhat disagree. I don't think you can just jump right into things. But
But we could be taking stronger steps towards it, is what I'm saying.
They definitely meander. I agree with you there. They back themselves into corners in certain ways, and there's no real getting out of it until...
Aren't we starting to catch up with the comics, too, finally? So I'm sure they feel like they're running out of material, too, because if they catch
more
up
or less, I mean, the comic is still quite a bit ahead, but not really, in terms of important things that have happened. We're very close, basically.
How do you know how long the comic's been running? It was before the show.
I don't know.
So what percentage of material have we covered in the show versus the comics, do you think?
Oh, that's a tough question.
I mean, are we better than 75%?
80%.
So the show is moving much faster than the comics ever.
Correct.
Have. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wonder if the writers are worried about
running out
of material.
Because the comic only comes out one a month. That's why. Because the comic releases one volume, one short little comic once a month.
Right.
So that's why the comic has been out for so long and still hasn't covered as much material. The show is moving much quicker in that aspect. But as you watch it every week,
it doesn't feel
for 48
faster. It does
minutes,
not feel faster.
You feel like you're peeling your skin off because it's creeping.
Right. And then they do those at the first of this season. They're doing those extended episodes, like an hour and a half.
Right.
Why is it longer? There's no reason for it to be longer.
And it doesn't even really feel that much longer runtime wise. It's like, are they putting in more commercials?
I don't know.
Runtime is still only 48 minutes or so.
Well, they didn't address more information
either. And
the
typical episode is 42 minutes.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, so you crammed in 6 extra minutes and we got 30 more minutes of
airtime. Because
my DVR is always like an hour and 22 minutes or whatever it is.
Right.
And yet still it's only like a 6-minute longer episode. It makes no sense. It's like, so you're just, you know, capitalizing on that show more is what it seems like to me, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, and I just don't feel like there's more information that's been presented.
But
whether or not. But anyway, so we can wrap up.
We'll wrap it up. We got another episode coming next week. And they already have a synopsis out for it, which I'm not going to read to you guys. But we'll be back again. Hopefully the show does something exciting.
That would be nice.
If not, either way, we'll have something funny to make fun of. But once again, I've been Tim.
And I've been Nick.
And we're the idiots. Thanks.